WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie. And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my hand.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come. And this is going to be simply glorious.
Don't blame me, death, on the shit in your head that you come eat you like a virus for days on end. Watch you decay, watch you waste away. Who'd you think you'd fool, baby, digging your own? So go ahead, yeah, just drop dead. And while you're trying to fool the whole world, don't forget that you're decay.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, a huge shout out to everybody listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com. If you get a quick second, you know, maybe after the show is over, I know we're coming off late, or tomorrow, or over the weekend, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com. They're pretty amazing, and they are your source for all things sports and entertainment. I am your host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
That was a good plug. Anyway, hi, everybody. We're here live right here at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, Gerwick.net. You can interact with us live in those specific places, or you can tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, or at Lindsay Ward. If the comment is relevant to what we are talking about tonight, we may use it on the air. So, you know, interact with us. Talk to us. We'll be entertained by you as we try to entertain you.
Something. Interact with us. We'd like it when people talk to us.
Something like that. Anyway, yeah. So we have a lot to get into. We're going to have a big announcement at some point during this show about the five-year show.
Yes, we're lining up surprises for the five-year show. It's going to be at the end of the month, so you want to keep your ears and eyes peeled, both to this show and to the Twitters and the Facebooks and WildTalkRadio.com, as we make announcements for our epic, groundbreaking, one-time-only five-year show, because, well, your show only turns five once, so it's a happy birthday special to the Rack.
Right, and that's June 29th, and we're going to announce something towards the end of the show that we need your help with, and other fine announcements eventually at some point when I book more things. So yeah, five-year show, June 29th, right here, Rack Radio, RackRadioShow.com.
It's a work in progress.
I'm working on things. Don't trust me, I'm working on things.
Like you said, we have a lot to get into tonight. We have news, we have Tweet of the Week, NXT, SmackDown, and yes, we will be talking about Money in the Bank tonight. We are going to give you our preview, our picks, we'll let you know who we think is going to win and who's going to lose and how you can participate in the Pick'em Challenge.
Huh? What? You're wrong.
What do you mean?
You wrote this whole thing down, I noticed it, just noticed it now, it's wrong.
What?
We're not previewing Money in the Bank.
We're not?
We're talking Extreme Rules.
Oh, right. Right. Someone, Money in the Bank's next week.
I didn't notice you wrote Money in the Bank down until now.
I can't keep the pay-per-view straight anymore. I can't do it.
So let's do that again. Here we go. Coming up later tonight, we will be reviewing Extreme Rules from this past Sunday, which happened on the WWE Network, which means Lindsay will get to talk about Bray Wyatt being a you-know-what for 45 minutes.
I don't know if it's going to be for 45 minutes, but yes, I do get to talk about him being a whore. Because he was one. But yeah, no. Next week, we're talking Money in the Bank. It's just, I can't keep them straight. There's too many pay-per-views.
See, on Monday she heard me say that Sunday night we're previewing Money in the Bank, so we're probably stuck in our head.
I honestly didn't even think about it, because I thought, for whatever reason, Tuesday was the go-home for Money in the Bank. For whatever reason.
No, we got one more week.
We got one more week? Okay. All right, fair enough.
One more week. So this week, Extreme Rules. Next week is Money in the Bank. Since I was having a talk with someone who will eventually be on this show. Like, we're trying to work it out where there's no pay-per-view, and he may be on for a pay-per-view. Like, it's like, every week's a pay-per-view, or preview, or a review. It's like, oh my god, so much.
Yeah, it's like, you know, every other week, it's like, you know, just, like I said, we just can't keep it straight anymore. There's too much. Way too much.
But that's okay. It gives us content, since there's no other content on the internet for anything.
Yeah, because we'd have to come up with it then, and God only knows what would happen then. So anyway, I say enough BSing, and we jump right into the news by reference over at Gerwig.net. And thankfully, there are no huge stories of the week to announce. But we do have some general news for everybody, and I'm going to start out with the WWE signees, because there is a host of them. WWE's gone on a spree, and I'm happy to announce that female independent wrestlers Evie and Nixon Newell, Cruiserweight Classic competitor Fabian Eschner, sorry if I said your name wrong, German wrestler Axel Dieter Jr., and, well, TNA alumni's Gunnar and Thea Trinidad have all signed with WWE. We saw that on NXT this past week with CN Andrade Almas, which we'll talk about later in the show. But congratulations to everybody.
Yeah, congratulations to all of them. Who knows how far they'll go. They need more women, and the women will probably be involved in some fashion in the Mae Young Classic coming up here in a little bit. Gunnar's a surprise.
Gunnar is kind of a surprise.
I don't know how far he will go. Maybe he's just the performance center training. Maybe he'll never make TV. Maybe he will. Who knows? It was one of those things you might... Because I saw a tweet, like, he made some sort of takeover reference in a tweet, and it got all over the internet or whatever. It's like, oh, okay. And then it's like, oh, he signed. Oh, all right, cool. Very, very cool.
But it's only a 6-month contract.
Is it?
No. Remember, was it Gunnar the one that was always re-signing with TNA?
No, Bram.
Oh, it was Bram. That's right. It was Bram. Sorry.
Bram. Yes. Bram is once again re-signed with TNA.
Yeah, Bram's not going to WWE anytime soon.
No. Here's the thing. Bram will never go to WWE.
Woo! Will go back. Because he was with them at one point. Okay. He was part of the original Ascension.
Okay. Bram will never go back to WWE. Woo!
Because that's where his ex-wife is.
Yeah.
And that would be awkward.
Very awkward. And she's their future. He's not.
Nope. But speaking of the Mae Young Classic, to get away from the awkwardness, we have updates on that.
We do have updates on the Mae Young Classic. So we've mentioned how they're going to be taping them, and they're just going to air them on video on demand. We now sort of have a firmed up date for it. The end of August will be the first week, right after SummerSlam, will be the first round of the tournament. The week after will be the second round of the tournament. So however many episodes they do with maybe 5, 6, but it's all going to be able to be viewed on demand, so you can binge watch a whole bunch of women's wrestling. And then on September 12th will be the live finale. No idea where it's going to be. Rumor has it will take place in Las Vegas at the SmackDown taping, which, okay, cool, they'll do it in front of a bigger crowd. Bad news, you're doing this on demand and not in front of the people who will have seen the rest of the tournament. So if you do it in Vegas, this could be a 205 live crowd reaction.
Well,
it could be.
I don't know if it will be.
There's a potential for it to be a thing, rather than here's 500 really loud fans in Florida. That's all I'm saying. You If you're going to the Vegas SmackDown taping in September, be loud. Make sure you do your research and watch these women, because they could be two women you don't know who they are, which is the problem with it. You know what I mean?
But also, they'll do enough advertising and playing it up that by the time they get there, there will at least be some familiarity of them. I mean, it's not going to be like they just take a random unknown and dump them out in front of a live crowd. They're going to advertise the crap out of this, so.
Are we sure? Because they've done this with the 205 Live people. Even with build-up, they get no reaction.
Oh, I know. Just saying. But if the matches are really good.
Well, the Cruiserweight matches were really, really good, too, leading up to it. So, it's, you know, there's potential for disaster, is my point. So
there's potential for disaster, and it could be they're still working it all out, where they're trying to figure out where they're going to do it. Because it might be they're moving it due to Full Sail already having an obligation, and they can't use it that day.
Or they could be doing it at a Full Sail that day, and they like they did with Tough Enough. They just go live.
I'd be okay with that.
I mean, that's okay.
That's
they,
fine.
Like, they taped SmackDown, and then they went live for Tough Enough. It's like, okay, you could do that. It works. There's nothing wrong with that at all. So we'll see.
We'll absolutely see. And speaking of updates, we also have updates on the UK show, which will be coming this fall?
No idea exactly when, but here's the schedule. According to Pro Wrestling Sheet, they have all the exclusive details on this. Current plan is to shoot the television show every 6 weeks, and for live events to run every other week in the UK, featuring the wrestlers who will appear in the series. We've also learned that Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, Wolfgang, and Mark Andrews have all inked new updated contracts that will soon allow them to work freely at the WWE Performance Center when needed. However, their main priority will be working for the UK brand. Why this is a story? Because there's been a lot of talk about, oh, hey, here's the UK show, and then there was nothing of it. Like, we had the one episode, and then it went nowhere. So it's like, what is up with it? Because they taped 2 days worth of tapings, and some of it just ended up on YouTube. And we only got that one 90-minute show, you know? So it's one of those things where now we know exactly what the deal is. No idea when. They're probably still working all that out. But that's the update.
Well, I think they wanted to test and see how it was going to do with that one show. Because with the not so much success of 205 Live.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is struggling, I would wager guess that they're probably hesitant to commit to a full show. So it's like, all right, we'll run a secondary special where we bring them back in and we see how that does on the network and we see how people react to it. And then we go from there. Plus, it's going to be a tad expensive to produce it just because it's going to be shot in the UK. So you have to send your production crew over to the UK to film it. Like, they can have the ring and they can have all the equipment and everything there like they have in the past. Because I think they actually do have a setup over there for when they go over. But, you know, you have to send everybody that can produce the show, unless you're going to use local people, over to the UK. Which they could be doing, but I would guess that the higher-ups, the main people that are running the show, are going to come from Stanford.
Hunter's crew, yeah.
Hunter's crew is going to go in. So, that's good. There is a cost involved in that. And also, it's just getting the talent. You know, they've re-signed a bunch of guys from the tournament, which is awesome. That's great. That makes me really happy. But, you know, you want to make sure that you're able to keep it fresh and you have enough people that you can get to commit to it.
Yeah, you need more than 8 people on your contract.
So, and it's looking to expand it and grow it and probably working with the local promotions over there, you know, like Progress and ICW and a couple of the other ones where it's like, all right, let's see if we can't work this out.
And something to keep people, your eyes on, the ICW, forget what it stands for. Is it Insane Championship Wrestling?
I think so.
Their deal with the Fight app, their content is now no longer on the Fight app, which means it could be headed to another network, a WWE network, very soon.
I'd be okay with that.
So, yeah, that stuff has been removed from the Fight app going forward. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Just something to keep. Again, this is something just to watch out for. Not reporting anything, just to watch out for.
Pure speculation.
With just cause.
With just cause. Anyway, let's do the Blame Brents.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Brent, dude, lay off the legends. Jeez. So we have Harley Race, who both broke both his legs.
An ankle.
Hashtag blame Brent.
After a fall at his home a week ago, about 10 days ago. Trying to Harley. Do the math. Yeah. He's been confined to a motor scooter thingy. For a while before.
Oh, so he's culturing it?
Before this, so he had a fall, and yeah, that sort of happened. Because of all the injuries and everything from wrestling, it just caught up with him. He's in his 70s, Whit. I don't know the exact number.
I think he's in his, like, low to mid-70s.
75, 76, something along those lines.
I was gonna say, he's not terribly old.
74. He just turned 74 back in April, so there you go.
So yeah, not terribly old. So Godspeed, Harley Race. We hope you feel better.
We do hope you feel better, yeah.
Up next, Ric Flair.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Who hurt his wrist, hand.
Think broke a thumb.
In a fight.
In a fight. A fight with who?
A basketball fan?
Supposedly, he got into a fight with a Warriors fan, because Ric Flair apparently is a Cavaliers fan. Who knew? But, you know, he's a Cavaliers fan because probably LeBron James. And apparently got in a fight and broke his thumb, or one of his fingers. I think it was his thumb. Either way, he broke a finger. It was bent really badly. And, yeah, Nate is still Nating it up.
Bless him.
Best way to put it, he's still Nating it up. He's Ric Flair. He'll never stop being Ric Flair.
Oh, Lord.
It's just who he is. It's in his blood.
Man lives and breathes the gimmick. I don't think it is a gimmick at this point. I think that's just...
Tim.
That's him.
It's who he is, who will always be. It's just Ric Flair.
And last but certainly not least, the thumb of America, Kevin Owens.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Dude broke his thumb, but not to worry, he's not going to miss any time. He is continuing to perform and work through the injury.
He is a tough son of a gun.
Yes, he is.
Because the thumb of America via Montreal, Canada is very, very important.
Yep, can't have anything happen to that. Although, Brent, not only are you blame Brenting yourself, but you're sabotaging yourself, too.
Yes. Yes, he is. Yes. Yes, he is. He's even, I forget who it was. This is where I'm stalling really quickly so I can send out of one Twitter into another because I have multiple Twitters. You can follow at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show. We're at CB Radio Live because this is where this one came. Usually when it's a CB Radio Live, it's a hashtag blame Brent, but, or blame Rob. This one's a blame Brent, if I can find it really quickly. But so many people talk to me on this Twitter, I can't find it. All right, so it doesn't matter at this point. Here we go. There it is. Phil Collins. He broke it, branched out into the music world for a blame Brent, so... We'll do it louder since I had to set it low.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Phil Collins gets put on the list.
Alrighty then. Well, I think that does it for the news then. What do you think?
Yes. We'll come back. We're talking Extreme Rules.
We're going to talk about Bray Wyatt for 45 minutes. So everybody sit tight. Buckle up. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
I've been the puppet master and I've been the strength. Coming next big thing. I've been the photograph and I've been the lens. I've been the Satan, baby. I've been the sin.
Who is the greatest hockey player of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Butchering some names. Frank Nyberg versus Joe Duwensiken. Wendyk.
I'm gonna go with Neuendijk.
Yes,
Neuendijk. That is not what it looks like. Sweeney Schneider versus Matt Schmidt.
It's Milt, not Matt.
Whatever. I figured that was gonna help out Team Chat. Finally, someone who has a real name. Brad Park gets Mark Messier.
Messier.
What the hell is
that? Yeah. Somebody hang this
guy.
Lynch him. Get a rope.
It has a goddamn R at the end. Screw you.
I can only wait till I get to that Wayne Gretzky guy.
Guy Lafleur versus Lauren Chatbot. You added a T. Yes, I did. On purpose. Brett Hull versus Ray Borku.
Bjork.
Bjork?
Ray fucking Finkel.
Bjork. Okay, whatever.
Just think of the Swedish chef.
Fischler versus Wayne Gretzky.
Gretzky. I'll be the Gretzky guy.
Way to play into it, Jeffrey. Way to play into it.
Pavel.
Oh, God.
Wait. Pavel. Pure. What? How did I pronounce?
Bure.
Pavel Bure.
Bure. Okay.
Oh, my
fucking
God.
French. Jerome Ignilia.
Aginla.
What?
Aginla.
Aginla? Versus up, Joe? Sakic. That's where I was going to go originally, but I figured it was going to be pronounced differently than I was expecting.
Jerome Aguila, one of the all-time greatest Calgary Flames players of all time.
Okay, so I'm going to go with Joe.
I will move Joe Sakic on. I can feel the hatred now for that last one.
You're all idiots.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Celebrating 5 years of the award-winning The Rack.
I picked Tara because she's considered a true legend and icon amongst female wrestlers in the industry, and she was also one of the wrestlers I got to know best while being backstage at TNA, and I really had a lot of respect for her. And like I said before, I just really always had that question in the back of my mind about why the females aren't as showcased as the males and how they really do that and what motivates them to do what they do, so to speak. And I figured she would just be a perfect one. I mean, I've seen her backstage and how well she gets along with everybody and how a lot of people look up to her and how she's highly regarded and one of the most well-respected females out there. And I have the utmost world respect for her, and she's a pleasure to work with. And it's just really exciting where the film has gone from a little school project to now being in high demand on the internet and stuff. So it's really exciting.
It's always cool to be big on the internet.
It's even cooler that, you know, a little project for school blew up into something so amazing, because I know the Pope documentary went to Cannes, I believe.
Yes, that is true. That was really exciting for me, just because this is, well, the Pope was really my first it was my first documentary I've ever done. My first time ever really playing with that side of film.
Wow.
Yeah. he was
I think
a pleasure
you have
to
a
work
future
with.
In it, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, just seeing all the people commenting how much they want to see it really means a lot to me. Is really inspiring me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Awesome.
But hers, Terrified, has blown up way more than mine with Pope has, and just every day there's something new, and it's just so exciting.
Join us June 29th for the celebration at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can look, but you can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree, and this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rat Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
Yeah. Cold as a valley where I lay my head. Cold as a woman in another man's bed. Mm-hmm. Down in the forest with the devil in me. I remember the looks on their faces through the sycamore trees.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to this over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com for all your news and entertainment needs. We're back with Extreme Rules.
In the bank.
In the bank. Because I can't keep the pay-per-views freaking straight anymore. Too many pay-per-views. Way too many pay-per-views. But on the upside, I get to talk about Bray Wyatt. I'll take that.
You'll take that.
I'm okay with that.
You're okay with that. Okay. So, Extreme Rules kicked off with the kickoff show. Apollo Crews took on Kalisto. I'm going through my notes. I like the fact that the finish was the Selena Del Sol running up Titus O'Neil.
Mm-hmm.
Bad news, if you're Kalisto, you don't want to be called Mr. Upset. That would be an awful nickname.
That would suck.
That would suck. Match is fine. Kalisto got the win.
Apollo was not happy. No. Titus was not happy.
Titus was not happy. Apollo was not happy. It was not a good day for the Titus brand.
No, it wasn't.
Yep, with all these bad days for the Titus brand, it's trying to recruit more people like Akira Tozawa.
Because why not?
All right, let's get into the meat and potatoes of the main show. Kicked off with the Intercontinental title, Dean Ambrose took on The Miz.
With the stipulation that if Dean Ambrose got disqualified, he would lose the title. So we all were kind of figuring how this would go, is that Miz would try to get the obvious disqualification, which he did try. He had Maurice slap him, they shoved the ref, they even got a cover off a turnbuckle at one point.
They were using the chair on the outside. Dean was like, I'm gonna hit him, and it's like, no, you don't hit him, don't you do it, because you would lose your belt. So they did some creative spots, and like the stuff they did was great. Like they had a really good wrestling match, but on a night of called Extreme Rules, the match itself felt very out of place just because of that reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you would think that for a stip, you would have like a chairs match or some kind of hardcore match to play into Dean's background a little bit, but you didn't. Instead, you went with the very straight-laced stipulation of, well, if Ambrose gets disqualified, he loses his title anyway, which means you really can't do any kind of rough stuff.
And it's not even, it just, again, it just comes off as pointless to do a DQ'd match on a pay-per-view where you're supposed to get extreme. It just, the logic in my head goes, that doesn't fit.
No, it really doesn't.
And like I said on the show last week, and I've said before, it's like the slap spot, which they did. Why didn't you do it a minute, 10 seconds in? Why did you go have a wrestling match when you knew in your mind you could slap her, she could slap you and you would win? Why did you do it? I like that she got tossed, and yeah, she played into the finish, whatever, and he beat her. And Miz won clean with the skull crusher finale, but it was like, logic, head, you could use it more. Also, a negative. The big negative. I talked about this Sunday, we're going to talk about it here. Dean left leg was injured, correct? That was the leg he was selling, right?
I think so, yeah.
Miz was hooking the figure four and trying to work on the right knee. If you're going to do a submission where you work on an injured body part, may want to use the right body part. Call me crazy.
An effort was made?
But not really. You got to focus on the right injured body part. Just saying. Maybe the Miz only knows how to put it on one way. If that's the case, work the knee that he can work with.
I was going to say, I've only ever really seen it put on the right. I've never seen it put on the left.
Then maybe he should have worked over the right leg. Just sell the right leg, not the left. Call me crazy, but that's... Yeah. Anyway, the match, they had a great wrestling match that felt very out of place. And that sort of lost interest a little bit for me in it, you know?
Well, I think everybody was waiting for Maurice to get involved. I think everybody was waiting to see what they did with the stip, because we all knew they were going to play with it. We all knew that it was going to get questioned at some point of, well, you know, do Miz and Maurice try to disqualify Dean Ambrose to get the title, or does Miz go over clean? And you're really kind of waiting for them to do stuff. And you're right, it did take them a while to get to that slap where they were pretty much almost to the finish, where Miz is desperate and he looks at his wife and he goes, slap me, slap me, slap me.
Which we learned something.
He likes to be slapped.
I mean, just saying, we learned one of his...
Kinks.
Kinks. Best way to put it, kinks. I was going to say bedroom activities, but, you know, whatever.
I'd say he's into way more than just getting slapped.
Okay, we're not going to go there. By the way, you can buy Miz's house, as seen on Total Divas, for $3.6 million.
So if you happen to hit the lottery...
You can live where the Miz lived. And if you didn't know it was Miz's house, the pictures in the movie room would kind of tell you it's where he lived. Anyway, couple facts. One fact and one thing I really like. We'll go with the fact first. This was the 92nd match for The Miz on pay-per-view. Pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I really enjoyed, it went 20 minutes.
Yeah, it did go a while, which was nice. They weren't rushed at all.
And I went back and looked at the website that had, you know, times it out. And I told Tim, I was like, I think it went 20 minutes. And on the nose, it went 20 minutes. I was like, awesome, I nailed that one, right?
I mean, it was a really, really good, solid opening match. They have very good chemistry together. They work well together. They don't really put on a bad match, but it wasn't like a barn burner or anything like that. It was a very kind of stock standard, you'd probably see it on Raw sort of match. But what they did was very good.
And they again, the whole idea behind giving 20 minutes was like, you didn't rush. You weren't trying to end this in 12 minutes. You got 20 minutes to tell your story, and it was really good in the end. So Miz wins. I got that pick wrong. I went with Dean, but I'm okay because it helped my fantasy team, and we're all about it. Lindsay got the Miz, and 8-Ball won't Miz, and Ambrose was in the video game. So there you go. Bailey poked fun at how bad This Is Your Life was last week. Talked about studying Tommy Dreamer, the Sandman, and everyone's favorite, Steve Blackman.
Because, you know, who needs an excuse to watch Steve Blackman? Just watch Steve Blackman.
Exactly.
By the way, who didn't make fun of This Is Your Life?
Noam Dar and Alicia Fox took on Rich Swann, hometown boy, and Sasha Banks.
Which is like the kiss of death. Oh, he's from Baltimore. Kiss of death.
Oh no, they broke the curse.
They did break the curse.
Swann and Banks won the match. It was fine. It was typical match. Sasha looked really good. Rich Swann looked fine, but Sasha was the star. Everyone else was just played their part.
Yeah, this was all about Sasha, and that's fine. I mean, it was what it was. It was a good match.
The 8-Ball was the only thing to get this one wrong.
Yeah.
All right, anything else you want to add to that match?
Nope.
The Drifter sunk. Anything you need to talk about?
Nope.
Women's titles on the line. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley.
In the stupidest stipulation of the night.
Kendo stick on a pole. Would you like to go first?
Why couldn't it have just been like a kendo stick match? Why couldn't they have just had multiple kendo sticks and just beat the crap out of each other with it? Why did it have to be on a pole? Why did they have to fight to get it off the pole?
And why, if you're going to have an item on the pole, did it come down in 90 seconds? What was the point of the stipulation?
Well, okay, to be fair.
No, there is no fair.
No.
No.
No, I get to make my point.
Go ahead, but there is no fair. Go make your point.
You did, bitch. Last week, that, you know, oh, well, they're going to have a regular wrestling match, and it's going to be really good, and then the kendo stick's going to come into play. So they heard you, and they got to the kendo stick really, really quickly.
They didn't even have a match.
Not really.
There was no match.
No, you just had Alexa beating up Bailey with the kendo stick, which I heard a lot of people complaining that Alexa didn't take a shot from the kendo stick.
Here's the thing. Bailey shouldn't be swinging kendo sticks. She's innocent. She's pure. She shouldn't be swinging kendo sticks. Anyway, here's the thing. This was not a wrestling match. This was a stupid, stupid match. The stipulation was awful. You paid it off in 90 seconds. It's like, why even do it? You want to have them get physical? Fine. Let them get physical. Let them get extreme. This should have been an extreme rules match because guess what? These two girls could have told the story. Give them 20 minutes. They would have told a great story. Trust me. These two girls know how to work. Alexa's improving. Bailey knows the business. She's been growing up. She's a fan of the business. She watches everything. She could put on a really good Extreme Rules match. Because you don't have to use this dumb, oh, here's a kendo stick. Yay, one object.
On a pole.
On a pole. 90 seconds in, it's down on the ground. That should not be a thing. It was pointless. Why'd you spend more time setting up the pole than the thing was on the pole? It's like the cruiserweight thing. Like, you spend more time taping the ropes, and then you're out there for 2 minutes. Like, this was... You want to talk about why Bailey's in trouble and why people are losing interest in Bailey? It's stuff like this. Because
yeah.
We're not giving her the opportunity to be Bailey. She, if you remember why she's really good, she had great matches with Charlotte. She had great matches with Sasha Banks. And that's what put her on the map. Great wrestling matches. Not dumb, stupid stipulations like kendo stick on a pole. Sorry, it was dumb. I'm very positive. This was dumb. This was stupid. This does nothing for Alexa. This does nothing for Bailey. These two girls deserved a lot better than they got.
No, it did something for Alexa. It showed us all what Alexa's into in terms of her kinks.
Okay, but that does not help her wrestling character.
Does not help her wrestling character, not one bit, but, you know, she got a little bit too much enjoyment of beating Bailey with a kendo stick. But yeah, I mean, it's like, if you're gonna do it, give them the Extreme Rules match. Make it a kendo stick match, you know, where you have a trash can full of kendo sticks, and they can just go to town and beat the crap out of each other. Like, this was really sort of almost the pussy way out of having Bailey lose clean.
Like, these two girls are tough. They could take a few shots.
Bailey's been taking them for weeks on end, where Alexa's been smacking her. And I'm sure Alexa could take the shot, too.
But they gave these girls no opportunity to put on a show. You want to know why things... You lose interest? It's because you don't give people the opportunity. And that's been the case for a very long time. This had the reminiscence of the Divas division, where you don't give them any time to perform. You give them a dumb stipulation, you go out there, hey, try it, and when it fails, you blame them. This was a bad match. Because it wasn't a match. Give them 15 minutes to wrestle, we'd be blown away. You got seven minutes on pay-per-view, You didn't do anything. And you come out of it. Bayley looks really, really weak. Alexa is the champion. But guess what? It was an awful match. It did nothing for her. You gave her a ridiculous This Is Your Life segment to handle. And props to her for carrying it, even though it sucked. And then she had to deal with this. Hopefully, they turn things around. Because Alexa's a star. Bayley's a star. If you let her be.
Yeah, it's like you guys have made this huge conscious effort to build a women's division, especially on Raw. Not really, but
you've made
an effort to build the women's division in general in WWE. You can't crap all over it now.
You've been given up. There's opportunities here. So many opportunities. And why is someone's car alarm going off?
Anyway, I don't know.
But opportunity. Give it to them. Let them be themselves. I mean, come on. They're good. Let them be them. This was not good for them. This hurt them. And hopefully they can rebound. You talk about the stuff that happened at WrestleMania with Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, and people crapped all over that. They tried something, and it did not go over well. Wanna know why it didn't go over well? Because you didn't give the two guys who put their heart and soul into a program the opportunity to be successful. And that's, you're getting too creative for your own creative good. And if you continue to do it, you have to wonder, why is so-and-so not getting over? I don't know. Maybe you're not letting them get over.
Well, here's the thing. This wasn't even creative for creative sakes. This really felt lazy. This was just, okay, well, we have to put the women's title on the line. We have to put it on the pay-per-view. It's Extreme Rules. Well, we could give them an Extreme Rules match, but we really don't want to because, well, you know, the five-way was an Extreme Rules match. So let's do Kendo Stick on a Pole.
So what if the main event was an Extreme Rules match? Guess what? You could do multiple Extreme Rules matches and just tell a different story. I don't know. Here's a newsflash. Maybe use different weapons.
But I think it was really just kind of sort of the cop-out, we just have to throw it on there for the sake of throwing it on there, and that's what they did.
And that shouldn't be the way to do it.
Nope.
I'm sorry. And yeah. Anyway, this rant presented by Garwick.net and Wrestling Figure from Talk Great Follow during the Instagram.com/MBD1211.
We will fight tooth and nail for the women because I personally have waited years for the women to get this level of, you know, being treated on the same level as the men. And if they take it away from me, I'm going to pitch a fit. Just saying.
We all picked Bliss. Bliss won.
Yay, points.
Yeah, you did get points on this one. Anyway, anything else we need to add on this one?
Nope.
That's more reigning time. Raw Tag Team Titles Online in a Steel Cage match. The Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Okay. The point of a steel cage match is to deliver a beating and then walk out of a cage. Climbing out of the cage in 90 seconds, trying to climb a cage in 90 seconds, is the coward's way out and is pointless for the stipulation. Back in the day, you had some great steel cage matches where, you know, you deliver a beating. It's bloody. It's battle. It's brutal. And I know you can't use blood, but you can beat down someone in a cage. Not just, oh my god, let's escape that cage. Oh my god. Sorry. It's a thing. Learn how to do these stipulations right, because if you do them, they'll be really, really good. And yes, they had a good match. Yes. The ending was really, really fun, and yay, they raced to get out. But it's like, you could have done so much more. Like, hell, if you really, here's the story you could have told. You want to get rid of Jeff Hardy and let him get out of the cage? Open up that door and throw him out of the cage. And then you know what you do? You beat on Matt Hardy for 10-15 minutes, and you keep knocking Jeff off that cage. And then Jeff finds his way back in. And then you do your finish. Sell the beating. Sell it. But they didn't do that. Because think about it. If they just threw Jeff out of the cage early on and just beat, or Matt, whoever, pick one of the Hardys, and just beat on him for a while, how much heat do you think they would have got it?
Oh, a ton.
How over would Cesaro and Sheamus be with that? It'd been awesome. Instead, we had, oh, I'm going to escape. No, I'm going to escape. We're going to pull each other down. Anyway, that's my thoughts. What were your thoughts on this match?
I didn't like the stipulation that you had to escape. I hate that. I'm with you. I hate escaping in a cage match. It's like, you know what? No, you're in a cage for a reason. It's to prevent people from getting out and for you guys to beat the crap out of each other. So I want you to stay in the cage. I want you to beat the crap out of each other, and I want one of you to pin the other like men. I want you to make somebody tap. I don't want you to escape like a little bitch. And I hate that. And I think they made the stip where both of them had to escape. Like, you couldn't pin in the middle of the ring. You had to escape the cage, which is like, that's so stupid. Because then 90% of the match is them constantly trying to get out of the cage. Instead of putting on the beating in the cage. I mean, the match itself was fine. It was what it was.
Like, the white noise from the top rope, the double team white noise was really good. And then
that
Jeff,
was sick.
Then Jeff coming in and doing Whisper Nor Win, really good. But you could have done that at different points, too.
Yep. And I mean, and there's always, and then Jeff doing the crazy spot off the top.
Yeah, Whisper in the Wind, yeah.
I didn't know that's what it was called.
Yeah, that spinny backflip thing is called Whisper in the Wind.
Okay. You know, there's the insane Jeff Hardy bump that we were all waiting for. Because we all know it. It's like, oh, okay, they're doing a cage match, which means Jeff's going off the top of the cage.
Which he said on the pre-show, I'm probably jumping off the cage.
Oh my god, let me find my shock face.
Jeff, by the way, went really orange tan.
Yeah, dude. Lay off spray tan. Lay off it. But I mean, the match itself was fine. I don't really remember a lot of it. I only remember the finish where they're both, like, trying to get out of the cage, and it's like Sheamus and Cesaro are just hanging off the side of the cage. And I'm like, just let go. Seriously, just let go. Just fall.
And that's the dumbest finish. Oh, I'm racing and I'm racing. It's a dumb finish.
It's like, no, if you're actually racing each other, you don't hang there carefully trying to get down while you watch them trying to get to the door. It's like, no, just let go. Just let go. It's really that simple. But I mean, it was fine. I got points for the win, but this match was just, it was okay.
You took my points.
Damn right I took your points. And not only did I take my points, or take your points, I cost you points. So,
video game picks of Sheamus and Cesaro. We didn't, neither did A Ball. Sheamus and Cesaro are your new tag team champions because Rebby is about to pop.
Yeah. That's the main reason why they're taking the belts off Matt and Jeff, is so Matt can go home and be with the wifey when she has baby number two.
She was due on the 5th.
And she hasn't had it yet?
As far as I'm aware, no.
Oh, God. Poor thing.
It's only 2 days. You know.
When you're that pregnant, though, you are freaking miserable and you want that baby out of you.
I understand this. I'm just saying it's only 2 days. It's only 2 days. If it's like Brie and it's another week, then we may have another issue.
If it's Brie and another week, they need to induce her.
Did you know there's something called a baby chiropractor?
What, where adjusts the baby's spine?
Yeah, apparently there's a thing, an infant chiropractor. I didn't know this. I learned this from Brie. It's a thing.
Why is Brie going to an infant chiropractor?
She took the baby to a chiropractor.
Why?
I don't know. I guess it was crying a lot. It's on their YouTube channel. You can check it out. But it's a thing. Anyway, sidetrack over. Cruiserweight title submission match. Neville versus Austin Aries.
This was good. This was so good.
Best Cruiserweight match I've seen in a while. Because, again, time. Crowd wasn't fully into it. I was invested because it was really good. I love the selling of... I love they did a great job selling the knee injuries. Everything was told correctly. They played up the last chancery where Neville tapped out on Monday, so they referenced that back. I like the spot where they rolled out of the ring and he kept put the last chancery back on and Neville was tapping on the outside. I really like that spot. And then the red arrow into the Rings of Saturn. Good finish.
Thoughts? That was a great spot.
What was your thoughts? Thoughts overall on the match?
I enjoyed this a lot. This is where I think the show started to pick up a little bit, because the first few matches were fine, they were okay, but it's like they're nothing really to write home about sort of thing. It's like, alright, this is pretty average. And then it's like you got to this match, and this match really started to pick things up for the show. Because, I mean, you send Neville and Aries out there, they're not going to have a bad match. They're not. They can't. But this was really, really, really good. Love the moment on the outside where Neville's tapping. And it's like, Austin's got him, and it doesn't matter because it doesn't count. Which could set up a false count anywhere match later on.
Or Austin Aries is taking time off away from WWE, apparently. He's banged up, so he's taking some time off.
Fair enough.
That's why he did not win the title or any of these matches, probably, because they knew he was taking time off. Anyway, this was the best Cruiserweight match in a while. Again, it still goes back to the rant last week where define the style. This is not their style, but this was really good. We'll see how it goes from there. In terms of picks, you went Aries, so did the video game. I went Neville, so did Dayball. Now we get to our main event, where I just sit here and not say anything. It's Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, and some guy named Bray Wyatt in Extreme Rules, Fatal 5-Wife. Go!
So, first things first, I love the partnership between Bray and Joe. I love this. Whatever this is, whether it's a friendship, whether they're secretly banging each other, whatever. I really, really, really like the cooperation between the two of them. Really, really, really like it. Second of all, Bray, you whore. You absolute whore.
You have to explain why he's being a whore. You need to explain these things. People just, unlike me, can just read your mind. You need to explain this.
I'm trying to remember everything he did, because basically he was just, like, having a field day in his match, because it's pretty much everybody that Bray Wyatt wants to screw with, or just screw, was in this match. So it was like playtime for him, where he was just having a good old time beating people up, getting beat up, throwing people around. He splayed himself out on an announce table at one point.
He gave the Germans a show.
He gave the Germans a show. I mean, and he got put through a table at one point, too.
Okay, we'll get to that. But yeah, he did.
But yeah, it's just like, he was just, and he didn't even have his slut pants on. He was wearing the black pants, not the white ones. But still, it's like, oh my god, Bray. But he was good. He looked strong. It was interesting when the match started because Bray went for Finn. Joe went for...
Rollins.
And Roman was kind of left odd man out.
I'm just going to stand here in my yard, waiting patiently for someone to come after me.
Enough with the, it's my yard, I'm the big dog, yada, 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 yada. Enough of it. I'm sick of it. It was stupid when Taker did it. It's stupid now. Just can we drop it, please?
And then Roman would hit Samoan drops to defend his yard.
Although I will admit, the Samoa drop on, I think it was Joe, was impressive.
And then he tried it on Finn. Finn was like, no. Oh no, I'm not going to do that. So Finn got rid of Roman, and Finn's in the ring going like, I'm going to defend my clubhouse. What now?
And then there was Seth, who was just like running around like a madman putting people through tables.
They kept Roman out of the match for a majority of it. They had him spliced in at spots, but they limited him because, you know, you need to. Because just keep him to the side. Let him pull off what he can pull off, but let the others carry the match. Because you really had, for a while, it was Bray, Joe, and Finn really controlling this match.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a really good way to do things. Like, they really carried it really, really well.
Well, and also I think it's you want to keep Roman safe, you want to keep Roman healthy, so it's like, yeah, we're going to put him in these situations, because he needs to be in these situations. But at the same time, it's like, if you're going to have four other people in the match with him, they can do a little bit more in that match, and he can sort of take the step back and be a little protected.
And it also led to the bigger moment at the end. It was like, it was fresher. It wasn't like you had seen Roman dominate for 20 minutes and then have the big finish. It's like, no, okay, now Roman gets his spots. You brought up Bray going through the table. Before that, Roman speared Finn and Joe through the barricade.
That was sick. It was really sick.
I'll give you that, but we've seen it 30,000 times.
But there's something about Joe's got hold of Finn, Finn's fighting to get loose, and then all of a sudden, bam, there's Roman, because they just kind of turn and look at Roman, and it's like, oh, crap.
Oh, I understand. It was a really great spot, but we've seen the spear through the, you know, barricade a bunch of times. Everyone's done it. So it's like,
of course everyone's done it.
So let's come up with something new. I know it's the spot to get the pop, but we can always come up with something new. So we had that spot, then the frog splash myself through the table onto Bray Wyatt. So it's like, that was a really cool spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Roman and Seth, the two last men standing. They battled for a while. You could read Roman's lips, like, ready to go? Ready to go? Before they started to punch? It's like, director, maybe you should, you know, cut away from that. But he didn't. Good job, Kevin Dunn. And then there was a spot after they were fighting, and it's like, Bray comes in, goes for his sister Abigail, almost hits it on Roman. The reaction from that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. And I don't think Bray ever got it.
No, he did not hit it on Roman, no.
Poor boo-boo. He tried so hard.
Roman speared Bray, Superman punched the Finn, coup de grace at one point, which Joe broke up, and then Joe made Finn pass out. Your winner.
Which was really nice.
Your winner, Samoa Joe.
What brings up the point, one problem is that Roman is getting so much of a reaction all the time, it can overshadow everything everyone else is doing. I would tend to agree with that, maybe not all the time, but, you know, obviously the crowd is very keen to boo Roman, and they're very fickle. They go back and forth between cheering and booing Roman, so it can be a little bit more difficult sometimes, and I think that's why they minimized him in this show, in this match, was to basically let the others shine a little bit.
He does overshadow people. It is what he does, whether it's good or bad. He does get the bigger reaction, and it sometimes takes away from the match because everyone's just booing. It does do that, whether it's meant to or not. It just does. It draws some focus away, even if it's not meant to. It's just one of those things that sort of happens these days because the crowd's so trained to boo Roman in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how it is at this point. But yeah, I thought this main event was really fun. I enjoyed it. It went about 30 minutes. It didn't feel it. It didn't feel like it was dragging, which is happens in some matches where it feels like these matches are just being drawn out to go 30 minutes when they don't need to. It's like this matchup felt went the exact amount of time it should have. And overall, the final two matches were really, really good. Which saved the show.
Yeah, and this one thing you have to say about the show, it was fairly well paced in terms of match time and appearances and everything like that. The women's match was still BS, but overall they did a really nice job of planning out the show, of pacing out the show, of doing all of that. I mean, this match got time, which it needed time because you have five people in it. Although, I don't think it ever got announced as an Extreme Rules match until the pay-per-view, right?
Always was.
Always was? Mm-hmm. What was the one where the stip got slapped on last minute?
That was Mania.
No, I thought it was on the show too. Because we were sitting here talking about it and they announced that it had a stipulation. We're like, wait, what? When did that happen?
That was Taker Roman at WrestleMania.
Right, I know that.
But there was none this time.
I thought it was the cage match with Sheamus and Cesaro where it's like they submitted an escape only.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, just the escape only, but not the stip. It was just how the match. Yeah, they get to do pinfalls.
Yeah.
Okay. That part of it was. I picked Finn, you picked Rollins, 8-Ball, and Video Game picked Rollins.
So none of us got it right. But Joe versus Brock, this should be fun. With Bray Wyatt in Joe's corner?
No,
maybe?
No.
Or does Bray screw Joe to get to Brock?
I don't know. I think Bray has other intentions. You went 3-3, I went 3-3, Video Game went 3-3, 8-Ball went 3-3.
Hey, we're 500.
The random thing picker on Sunday nights went 6-0.
It's haunted.
Best the thing picker's ever done. A non-human won a thing.
It should go, you know what, since you were running it, you should go buy a lottery ticket, because when is that going to happen again?
I didn't run it.
Who ran it?
Tim. That's Tim's gimmick.
We'll tell Tim to go buy a lotto ticket then.
He does every week. Overall, I thought this was a solid pay-per-view again. Besides women match, everything else was fine, though some of it was just dumb stipulations. That's the theme of it. It was Extreme Rules with dumb stipulations.
Pretty much, yeah.
That sums up Extreme Rules.
I mean, it was just sort of a there kind of pay-per-view. It wasn't anything to write home about. It wasn't really spectacular. It was just sort of, yeah, okay, all right.
We're going to do a show. That's all.
We're going to do a show. I mean, the final two matches were really, really good, and that's what you want. But overall, it was just kind of eh.
Yeah, stipulation drew in a show, but matches were fine.
So that does it for Extreme Rules. Next week, we will be talking about Money in the Bank, so you don't want to miss that. But we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to have all your favorites, Tweet of the Week, NXT Rundown, SmackDown Throwdown, right here on the rack on WildTalkRadio.com.
Give me the wheel, so we can move a little faster. I'll make it real, I'm not a glorious disaster.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're going to put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Celebrating 5 years of the award-winning The Rack.
You've been interacting a lot with Bray Wyatt and the family that is the Wyatts. And you guys have had a little exchange on Twitter where you've been going back and forth, where you invited him and he seemingly accepted your invitation, and you guys want to come head to head. So I'm curious, because I have to know, because they have a compound and you have a compound. Whose place would that happen at? Would you go to them, or would they have to come to you?
Well, I have certainly invited them here, so I'm hoping they appear here at total nonstop deletion. But if they do not have the courage, if they are afraid to, I will certainly go to their compound. If not, I will go to Nick Mahan's show, and I will seek him out. I will pull them out of one of the arenas at a SmackDown match.
Fair enough. And was there anything that, you know, made you want to call them out, other than, you know, maybe they're kind of trying to imitate you a little bit?
Well, I mean, of course, the initial instance that really my mind goes to is that after we had the final deletion, you know, they had a week later, several days later, they had a fight at the Wyatt compound. You know, so of course, yes, the similarities there, I think, are no coincidence. So, you know, that is blasphemy in my broken universe. That is sacrilege. And for that, they must be deleted. So there are many, many people. I am also here to do what the wrestling fans want to see. The wrestling fans want to see House Hardy versus the family that is Wyatt. So that match must happen. We're on a collision course, and at some point in time, that match must happen.
Join us June 29th for the celebration at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is TNA superstar EC3, unbeaten world heavyweight champion, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a second, check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com. They've got some pretty amazing stuff over there. And if you just joined us, well, you missed the news. You missed Extreme Rules in the bank, but you're just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace, until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter, until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
That's payback. Anyway.
Okay, fair enough. The inside jokes. Oh, the inside jokes. Anyway, WWE Network tweeted out, all you Bo Leavers out there, make sure you send your birthday wishes to today to Bo Dallas. And it's a picture of Big E facing Bo Dallas, and Big E tweets out, delete this fam. WWE put out the exclusive of Luke Harper and Aiden English together, in which Aiden English quotes Shakespeare, and Will Harper responds. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's on WWE's Twitter. And Big E responds with, Luke is so well-spoken. What a credit to his family.
They educate themselves well.
He edumacated himself. Mm-hmm. Dolph Ziggler tweeted out, listen to me as hard as you can. I'm going to say this once. Where are the pizza rolls? And it's a picture of him and Shinsuke, and Shinsuke replies, sorry, didn't know that that's yours. Alexa Bliss. Tonight's to-do. Grab a kendo stick. Remain Raw Women's Champion. Beat Bayley with kendo stick. Watch Bayley cry. Leave Baltimore. Hashtag Extreme Rules.
That's what we call number one.
I'm sure there'll be more. Alexa Bliss. Bad girls don't cry. Losers do. I'm the goddess and still Raw Women's Champion. Billy Kidman. Am I under investigation by the fashion police? Is there a statute of limitations on fashion crimes? WWE Creative-ish. Coming in hard against Woods, Tom Phillips, who never learns his lesson.
So wrong.
Baron Corbin. To all the people complaining and crying about tonight, I just want to say ha 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 ha. End of days. WWE Creative-ish. Buy WWE Roman Reigns condoms. They protect your yard so your big dog doesn't wind up suffering from great balls of fire. Hashtag merch.
Okay, that's really, really good.
In it?
Yeah.
And that's all you got.
Aw, I found the sounder I was going to play if you stole another one. So I'll have to wait till next week to play it.
You made a sounder?
No, I found... Anyway, I found this.
Number two.
Does it go up to 10?
I have a bunch of numbers I found that I've had saved for a long time. Found numbers I can play with. Coming soon to the soundboard. Anyway, someone tweeted at Biggie, he caved her chest in and she didn't even break character, meaning AJ Lee. He replied, more than 4 years ago, y'all so petty, AJ Lee, or AJ Brooks now. My shattered sternum feels like it was just yesterday. He replied with a screaming AJ gif, because, you know, that's how you roll. Not SportsCenter. Jeremy Macklin on being cut from Kansas City. Maybe now I can go play for a team with a QB that doesn't consider a deep bomb to be 4 yard pass. Very true. That was the one you did. WWE creators, Maurice, slap me, said The Miz. Finally, Miz is relatable to me, said Vince McMahon. Hashtag Extreme Rules. Bubba Dudley. Thought this would have been a good promo for Alexa. Hush, little Bailey, don't say a word, and never mind that noise you heard. It's just a bliss under your bed, in your closet, in your head. That would have been really good. Three-man booth. WWE, great balls of fire. Could be worse. Hashtag Extreme Rules. And they replied to their own tweet going, TNA responds with their pay-per-view. TNA, flaming nuts. For reasons. Frankie Kazarian, congrats and love to my brother, Samoa Joe, a beast versus a machine. I mean, let's hear you complain about that internet triad for life. Rebby Hardy, what will arrive first, the new baby or the new fridge? Will my water end up broken before Matt Hardy is? Stay tuned. Grilled Cheese Jones, Alexa, you're gonna have to listen to me. You're not my real dad, Kirk. It's Kurt. I don't care, you bald weirdo. Cat Dennings. Just saw a squirrel push another squirrel into a rose bush, and I stopped walking and yelled, that was mean, squirrel. So, Hunt Rampage goes to Sasha Banks. Do you think Great Balls of Fire logo looks like a dick and balls? She replied, yes. Summer replied, facts only. And if you haven't seen the third version of the Great Balls of Fire, it is balls, and it has a thing that looks like a penis. Fake ESPN. If a player hits 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, and 5 hits while wearing camouflage, did anyone actually see it happen? WWE Creative-ish. Great Balls of Fire shirts are coming. It will be available everywhere, so it won't be hard to find. They will satisfy any fan. Hashtag merch. Vacant. It's so great that Brock Lesnar is coming back to Raw on Monday to relinquish the belt to me after thoroughly breaking the 30-day rule. And that, Tweet of the Week.
So you mean to tell me Rebby Hardy is pregnant still, and he still hasn't gotten her that fridge?
Nope.
Matt, you dick!
It may be on back order.
How hard is it to get a fridge?
I thought the fridge came, but apparently not.
He's like getting the Worst Husband of the Year award right now. It's like, just go get her a fridge.
Or maybe she wants a certain kind of fridge.
Well, he should have gotten it by now.
Maybe he's waiting for it to go on sale.
Well, then he missed his opportunity because Memorial Day was last week.
He is Big Money Matt for a reason. He made like his big deals.
You never know.
Anyway, you usually hate when I just play the bumper, so... pitch to the bumper.
And now, SmackDown Throwdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
In a reversal of fortunes, after last week when Ziggler beat AJ, AJ beat Ziggler. Oh my god, they're doing 50-50 booking. Last week they had a better match. This week AJ wins, and it was just a thing. It really wasn't anything special. That's good booking!
Woohoo!
In more positive news, get to the negative in a minute. The women's briefcase was revealed.
Oh, it's so pretty.
It's a very nice design. Very sleek white.
With gold.
With gold and green. It was very nice looking.
Basically, everybody was terrified it was going to be pink.
Pretty much, yeah. So, the women were having a promo. Natty brings up, hey, Charlotte, stop living off of, you know, your dad and stuff. His reputation with the lose and whatever. And then Natty goes on to say, I'm the best there is, the best there was, the best there will be. So, perfect heel line. But it's pot, kettle, black. Anyway, they all went back and forth. Naomi came out. She wanted to be in a match, but she can't be in a match. So she waits to see who the winner is, and they all jaw-jack for a while. Tamina was trying to be a badass and other things like that. And Ellsworth is just, well, Ellsworth. And then we had a debut.
Oh.
Of the ravishing Russian, Lana.
Oh, Lana.
In her
Lana.
In her blue sparkling dress. Crowd responded very positively, that even though she's a heel. She came out and says, I want a match. Shane's like, no, you didn't earn it. She's sad. Very, very sad. Later in the show, about 20, 15 minutes later, she came out, she tripped up, like Naomi really ripped into her. She'd say in the promo. She was laughing and all that stuff. So Lana talked to the back. Then they had the six woman tag, and Lana came back out, she tripped up Naomi and cost my team points. Thank you, Lana, for that one. And then Naomi came to Shane and said, I want to fight Lana, and I'll put up the titles, and that's what it's going to be. Lana's getting a title shot. Now that I've recapped it all, go.
In her first match.
Yes.
Her debut match is going to be a title match, which we've seen that happen before with Paige. Her debut match on the main roster was for the title.
This is not her debut match. This is her debut on SmackDown in a singles capacity, because she was in that WrestleMania big tag match a couple years ago.
But this is the new character, so it's a re-debut. She's been repackaged.
So we went from Husky to... Right, got it. Go.
Well, we'll see if that's actually the case. But I know a lot of people are not happy with her getting the shot right out of the gate. And I think a lot of people are afraid and worried that they're going to take the title off Naomi and they're going to put it on Lana.
I laugh so hard.
I would laugh.
But here's the thing. Here's the difference between, you know, we could go, oh, it's a laughing stock. They put it on Jinder. Now they're going to put it on Lana. Lana has no history, so she has no track record of losing, unlike Jinder, who had months and months and months and months, or years of losing. Continue.
So, Lana's getting a title shot at Money in the Bank, which does create an interesting quandary, because if you do put it on Lana, then you create the feud between Naomi and Lana, and plus you have the Money in the Bank winner Luke Lerman looming, if I could speak, and... So that creates a very interesting dynamic. That being said, I don't want her to win the title right out of the gate.
I don't think she will. I don't think it's going to happen. Now, here's the flip side to it all. If Lana was not facing Naomi, how many people would be complaining there's no women's title match on this show?
Because we're getting the Money in the Bank, I don't think that matters as much. We're still getting the women, and the majority of them are still in the show. I think people will more complain that Naomi isn't going to be on the show, but she would at least have an on-camera cameo at some point, so that would get her on the show at least. But a match is always better.
And here's the flip side of that. They were already complaining that there was no Money in the Bank for the women when the rumor came out after week one of the SmackDown tapings. And then it happens, you know, a week later. People were complaining that first week. Oh my god, they didn't announce it yet.
Well, you don't blow your whole load the first week.
But people want you to do that right out of the gate. That's why the internet's not always right.
But I don't think there's that groundswell for her as what there was for the Money in the Bank.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, it could have been. Anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. We'll talk about more next week. We'll go in detail and preview everything next week.
But what was really awesome about this was like the first 30 to 40 minutes of SmackDown
about
was
30,
the women.
About 30 minutes, yeah.
Was the women, which was awesome. A quarter of the show was women. It's like, hey.
Would you say that rocked?
That rocked.
Like, new case rocks? New case rocks?
You're reaching.
It was a segue.
It's a bad segue.
No, it wasn't. It was a great segue. Anyway, we had more fashion files. Oh my god, the fashion files with Fandango and Tyler Breeze and then the New Day being in color and then we're in black. and white. But what's going on here? They can't hear our voices? Why aren't they talking? All this was epic.
The Fashion Files was amazing. I love the Fashion Files so much.
The week before it was just okay. This week was a much better showing. Really good stuff. Everything on the boards was great. Again, I've talked about it for weeks now. It's like, Fashion Police, New Day, money.
They need to be friends.
They need to be frenemies for a while. Really good segment. Really, really good segment.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I mean, it was just really enjoyable. Basically, they go looking for intel on the Usos, and the Fashion Police hand over what they have, and, well, they say they're going to work together. We'll see.
We'll see. Mojo wants an opportunity. He got all hyped in Shane's face. His opportunity in Money in the Bank. He had to beat the man who he beat before, the WWE Champion Jinder Mahal. He lost to Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal's entrance is now like 4 minutes long. His matches on Raw never lasted that long, if you even add up them all. Like, I don't want to do the Jinder rant every week. They're trying, but they're not trying really hard.
Well, seeing as... Oh, we missed a piece of news. John Cena's coming back on July 4th. Seeing as he's coming back in a little bit less than a month, we may not have to worry about it.
Or if they're really serious about it, they have Jinder beat Cena.
Which they could do.
So I'm not going to rant on Jinder, because they're just wasting my breath. I'll rant about it next week when we preview Money in the Bank. You know, Sami Zayn should no longer do things backstage. He should never cut promos. He should never do anything backstage. He should just come to the ring, and he should wrestle. Because every time he's doing something backstage, Baron Corbin beats him up.
And has fun doing it.
Sammy was all wacky and doing his thing and doing his Shinsuke hand things. And then Baron Corbin beat his ass. Baron was on commentary for Kevin Owens and Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke wins. Shouldn't that make him number one contender? I mean, he beat the champ twice now. But then big Baron Corbin laid out Shinsuke Nakamura to end SmackDown Live.
Which was nice.
Which was nice. But the fans went, boo.
Well, yeah, you don't mess with Shinsuke. You never mess with Shinsuke. Ever.
No, and they gotta make sure they keep the artists on track. Also, artist is an awful name. We have a better one, but we're not gonna say it on air.
Yeah, I can't say it on air. People might take offense. It's not actually offensive, but people might take offense.
Again, 2017. Anyway, that was SmackDown. Solid show.
Solid show. Let's do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
My first headline goes, Hideo snaps. He was wrestling some dude, and he just kept hitting GTS, 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 and he just snapped.
Oni Lorcan. He was wrestling Oni
Lorcan. Oni Lorcan, thank you. He just snapped.
He's practicing his GTS, that's all. Getting it all good and warmed up for Bobby.
Well, maybe for Cassius, because Cassius Ohno came out and tried to stop him. Things didn't go well there, as Hideo and Cassius look to have a situation on their hands between one another. Could be a really good match.
I'm looking forward to it.
On the positive, when Cassius is fully dressed, it suits him better?
Mm-hmm. Agreed. He looked nice tonight.
So my first headline was Hideo snaps. My second one is CN gets slapped. But by who? Who? Who?
Well, it is the newly signed Thea Trinidad. We'll have to see if she stays with that name or if she goes with something different. But yeah, so I'm excited for this because it's like, ooh, what are they going to do with this? You know?
Yeah, it's kind of curious. What is she, a girlfriend? Is she, you know, some chick he just tried to pick up in the at the bar or the club, wherever?
I'm thinking ex-girlfriend or cousin.
Could be a cousin.
Because she says to him, this is what you've become. Okay, and then she slaps him. So.
She may be related in some manner.
Because your ex-girlfriend wouldn't necessarily hit you like that. Only family would hit you like that.
You never know. We've watched Jerry Springer. Just saying. Killian Dane beat No Way Jose. Solid match.
Sanity got new music.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's just for Dane or not, but Sanity has new music.
Might be for just Dane. I don't know. I didn't like it. I like the old Sanity music better. Speaking of music, Peyton Royce needs better music. Her and Billy Kay need better music.
Her and Billy Kay just need to come out. That's it.
That's one, but two, they need better music. It doesn't fit.
It's okay. I mean, it's not. It's the generic NXT music.
Right, and if they're supposed to be this iconic duo, they need better music.
It's probably in the works.
I hope so, because I don't like it. And then Roderick Strong was talking about, you know, everything that's happened to him in the last year, and then Bobby Roode came out, and Strong wants an opportunity, and Bobby's like, yeah, you can get an opportunity, maybe one day. Me and you can take a selfie together.
Bobby, you dick. You absolute dick. I'm so proud.
I thought this was a really good segment between the two. I thought Roddy was strong.
No pun. Pardon the pun.
Pardon the pun. And Bobby was really good, too.
This was really well done. Bobby was a good condescending heel. Liked that tremendously.
But we already knew that.
Roderick Strong will be a very good balance for Bobby.
Pretty much. And one other note. Ember is looking forward to seeing who wins the three-way next week. It's an elimination match between Ruby Riott, Asuka, and Nikki Cross. But she also wants to handle the Peyton Royce business. Three syllables. So yeah, I thought this was a solid episode of NXT. NXT's gotten a lot better. It's coming out of TakeOver, leading up to TakeOver, which is okay. They've got a real focus because they got some time to play with and they know exactly what they're doing, and I don't think anyone's on the call-up list right now.
Mm-mm.
So it's like, they're not scrambling. I heard Rio, like, he talked about, like, they're starting from scratch again, basically, and they're just building people now, which is good.
Yeah, you can tell that they're coming out of the draft and they've kind of built some people up and they're recovering from more people leaving, and now everybody's sort of on that even playing field, and now they just have to build them up into stars.
And I think they got some assurances that's like, this is your roster for now. Work with it.
Yeah. You can push these people. This is okay.
This is okay until Vince changes his mind and is like, oh, hey, I want people now.
Exactly. But I think that does it for us on this fine Thursday evening. So, well, we have an announcement to make before we go.
Yes. People of the internet, I need your help. On June 29th is the five-year show. And on these big shows, like we do every once in a while, we want your input. We want your questions. That's right. We're playing Ask the Rack. We're dedicating the entire show basically to Ask the Rack. So, everyone who listens to the show, we're going to be saying this a bunch of times from now till the show. Send us questions. We'll answer anything and everything you throw at us. You should know the deal by now. If you want to be an asshole towards us, expect an asshole response in return. That's just the name of the game. It's Ask the Rack. We want your questions. You can tweet them at Rack Radio Show or at Wild Talk Radio or at Lynn's Ward. You can Facebook them, facebook.com/Rack Radio Show, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can send them to us directly on other social media if you have a way to get a hold of us. You can email them at media@wildtalkradio.com. Give us your questions. Get them to us before that show, June 29th, the 5-year show. We'll answer them all on the show. That's the deal. More announcements coming, maybe. But for now, Ask the Rack returns on June 29th on the 5-year show.
Woo!
Alright, now it's more time to really plug things. Anyway, Saturday night, midnight-ish is CB Radio. Yes. Yes, you will. Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio. The weird, the wacky, the unusual. Say what? The greater, the great, the big. We're doing DC characters this coming Saturday night. See you live on Facebook, Twitter.com, #BlameRob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio previews Money in the Bank. 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Monday Night Raw Post Show 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, with the NXT Rundown, the SmackDown Throwdown, and Money in the Bank Preview. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, youtube.com/Rack Radio Show. Also, WTR Sims Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/Rack Radio Show. I don't know why I forget that on this show, but it's just autopilot. Anyway, subscribe, follow Rack Radio Show on all the social medias. We're there. Do the thing. Give us your questions for Ask the Rack at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You good?
Maybe. Yeah.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lynn's Ward, same as the Twitters. And, well, Don't forget those questions for Ask the Rack, and check out our fine sponsors while you're thinking of them. Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, Gerwick.net, and FightBoot.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.